rest of the story. Historian Gus Myers once called Jay Gould the most hated man in the United States. Gould was a self-made multimillionaire railroad tycoon. He died before this century was born. He was notorious for his unscrupulousness. He was unsatisfied even with his own nine-figure fortune. For all of the things his money could buy, the plush yacht and the private railroad car, the private physician who attended him at all times, his millions could not acquire for him one elusive prize, respect. He wanted respect. New Yorker Jay Gould was summarily snubbed at every level of New York society. It was to be expected that the Astors and their peers, the Livingstons and the Schuylers, the Bayards and the Beekmans, would have nothing to do with Gould, the ruthless robber baron who had ruined so many lives in his climb to the top. There was no hope whatsoever for his acceptance by these, the old wealth, the upper crust. But what really hurt was the rejection of the lower upper crust. The Vanderbilts and the Rockefellers and the Morgans and the Millses, the nouveau riches themselves, they also ritually excluded him from their society. So small, slight, sickly Jay Gould was the poor little rich man at the bottom of New York's pampered pile. Now, the one thing the new rich in New York envied most about the old rich was their status in the New York Academy of Music. The dress circle, the elegant boxes at the Academy, these were always populated exclusively by the old guard, the Van Rensselaers and the Lorillards, the Sewards and so on. And they, the elite, positively denied admittance to those of lower standings. It was even rumored that one of the Vanderbilts had offered $30,000 for an Academy box and had been politely, promptly refused. And thus did the discontent of the nouveau riche slowly lower the drawbridge for the man they had formerly forsaken. Jay Gould, seizing this priceless opportunity, pledged a phenomenal sum toward the construction of a new music hall. They wouldn't let him in the old one. He'd build a new one, a cultural haven for the tourist class millionaires. And all Gould asked in return was his own box in the new hall's dress circle. Truth was, he cared little for music and for high society, but he liked rejection even less. So the Goulds made their grand entrance into the fold. Nouveau wealth, that of the Goulds and the Vanderbilts and the Rockefellers and the rest, made the dream a reality. Opening night was October 22, 1883. The new dress circle, designated the Diamond Horseshoe, was inhabited by $500 million of new money, and the triumph of tone-deaf Jay Gould was that he was there too. Within two seasons, the exclusive old-moneyed Academy of Music was ruined and forced to close down. But the house that the nouveau riche built, the glittering monument to the New York Society Wars of the 1880s, still stands. All your life you've heard so much about New York's Metropolitan Opera. Well, now you know the rest of the story.